Most of you know that we do devotions. We've been doing staff devotions, doing just a short little thought there every day. This week, Brother Rick and myself, we've had to carry the whole load. We've had no help whatsoever. But I want you to know we made it. Well, we hadn't made it yet. That's halfway. But we will make it. We will make it. On Tuesday, my designated day for this week, I brought a thought on Psalms chapter number 1, the happy man. And so I liked that so well, and I studied this. I could not get away from it, and I just did a lot more work on it and research. And so this evening, I'm going to give you the second part of that, or maybe it's a continuation, or maybe it's all of it together, just a little bit of a rerun on that part. However, if you didn't see it, it's brand new to y'all, so it'd be, if you did see it, you probably have already forgot it, so it doesn't really matter. You'll get it all again. How about that? And so Psalms chapter number 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper." The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, as we come before you this evening, Lord, we're thankful for your many blessings again. Lord, we just ask that you'd bless, you'd speak to every heart. Lord, all of us have needs. Lord, there's all of us that have spiritual needs. And Lord, we just need to be closer to you, Lord. We just need something from the Word tonight that's going to help us to live for you and to serve you. And Lord, we sure are grateful and thankful for your many blessings. Thank you that we have a Bible that we can read. And Lord, thank you that you died for us on the cross. And Lord, you loved us so much. Lord, there's just no way we could ever thank you enough. And so I'd ask again, Lord, just bless and use the message tonight. Speak to every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look at this chapter, the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 1, the psalmist presents two ways. There's the way of blessing and the way of judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've been in the ministry several years, and I've seen a lot of people come and go. And I'm going to tell you, it is heartbreaking to see this played out before your very eyes. You know, you can see people as if they follow the Lord, if they try to serve God, if they're faithful to church, and they're just trying to be the best Christian they can be. They're saved, of course, and they just want to do something for God. They want to live for God, and to see them just to be faithful and to grow in the Lord. Well, what a blessing that is! It is one of the great thrills of being a pastor or being in the ministry and watching people and seeing people how they live their life, and they just go on and serve God, and they're faithful for year after year after year. What a blessing that is. But boy, what a heartbreak the other is. You see people that have come to church. You see people that you believe are saved people. But for whatever reason, something has happened. Something took place in their life. Maybe they've got a reason. They think, well, this is the reason I turned my back on God and quit serving God, or whatever it is. Really there's no reason to do that. But for whatever reason, they you look around and all of a sudden you start missing these folks, and you see them leave the church, and you see how their life goes from here, and it just goes down, and it ends most of the time, or a lot of times it ends in disaster, and it just breaks your heart, because you look back and you see those people, and you love those people, and you've invested time in their life, and you've worked with them, you've talked to them, you've prayed with them, you've shared your life with them, and they just leave. And I tell you, it's just heartbreaking. All in the book of Matthew is described as this: as two foundations, or how you're building your life. You're either building your life on sinking sand, or you're building it on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know. So, folks, can I just tell you that tonight the message talks about and is going to describe for us the happy man. The word blessed there means happy. And it means more than just happy. It really literally reads happy. In other words, it's more than just being happy. It's just bigger than that. And we find the word here blessed, and of course means happy. One guy has described it, as I was reading some things today. One guy described it he didn't describe it as the happy man, but as the holy man. Either one of those, I think, is fine. And so let's look at some things tonight that's going to describe and talk to you about this happy man, all right? And so we see it there. The first verse says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now the happy man is known for what he does not do as much as for what he does. All right, and we're going to see what he does here in a minute, but here's some things that he does not do. All right, he avoids evil. Now, if you read through there, as you read through there, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there is a progression, a downward spiral that this man has seen, or he's described here in verse number 1. He said, blessed is the man, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. All right. So the first thing that we see here, he is walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. All right. So the second thing is, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, someone has said it like this: as you're walking, you're still moving there. And he has the idea here of the ungodly. The ungodly just simply means that he has nothing to do or doesn't want anything to do with God. He pretty much minds his own business, and he's just pretty much going his own way. And then he goes to the next step there, nor standeth. In other words, now he's stopped, and now he is talking. He is conversing with this man who is a sinner. Now, really, we could say both of these men were ungodly, or all three of these men are ungodly. All three of these men are sinners, but it does show progression here, because the first one was ungodly, just means that he simply lived his life apart from God. The second one here as a sinner means that now he is participating in the sinful lifestyle. And then as he goes to the third one, he is sitting now with the scornful. And of course, the scornful is the one that mocks God, wants nothing to do with God, hates God, has turned his back on God, and really could care less about God. Boy, what a sad state. Now, he says this man, the blessed man, the happy man, is not going to be a part of that. If I could just give you a thought here to give you a mental picture of what's going on here. If you took the life of Lot, and we won't have time to turn there, but most of us would be familiar with the story of Lot. And Lot shows us just exactly, I believe, these steps as we look through here. And let's just go through them. I want you to see them. All right? As you look at the life of Lot, the first thing that we find about Lot, if you read over there in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes, and what did he do? Somebody say it. Anybody know? He looked. Yeah. The first thing he did, he just looked. The Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked towards Sodom. That's all he did. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's not that big a deal, is it? But he just looked that way. All right? But it didn't stop there. He looked towards Sodom. The next time you find anything about this, you find that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. In other words, now not only has he looked that way, but now he has turned his focus, his direction is that way. Now his tent is open or pitched that way, and every time he opens the door and he walks out, he sees Sodom. He is heading in that direction. Now, if we had time, we would turn to the book. We could turn to the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs there, and there's several verses there that talk about inclining my heart. What does that mean, to incline my heart? Well, if you could picture, this was a ramp. If we had a piece of plywood here, I wouldn't dare try to walk down it because, you know, I would probably land up on the first row here. But let's just say if it was a nice long ramp here built out this way, that's what is called an incline, right? So if I was up here at the top and I'm moving down that way on this piece of plywood that's tilted this direction, it's just natural when you get the weight going. Y'all with me? The weight? All right. When you get that weight going that way, and you're headed that way, it's just, not, you know what happens? Gravity starts pulling you, and it's hard. I mean, it's easy to go down, isn't it? It's real easy. You're inclined that way. And you know, the psalmist would say, Lord, don't let my heart be inclined to do that, or to go into sin, or to follow after the ways of the world. Don't make it easy for me to sin. Don't make it easy for me to go away from you. That's what he's trying to say here. All right? And so we find Lot, it's not that he's in Sodom, but boy, I tell you, he's headed that direction. And you know what happens, folks? Let me just tell you. Listen, happens all the time. People stop reading their Bible. All you got to do is look around where you're at and see people that's not here tonight that used to be here or was here last year or was here a year ago or 6 months ago, right? We know people that should be here, that used to be here, they're not here. Well, what happened? Well, we don't know everything that happened, but, you know, they started listening to somebody. Who was they listening to? Well, it could have been a number of people. Could have been a number of things. They quit reading. I just about without a doubt, you could just about bet on the fact. We don't bet, but you could just about bet on the fact that he quit reading his Bible, or they quit reading their Bible. They quit coming to a Wednesday night service or whatever. They started missing some things. And you know what, folks? It wasn't long after that they just kept going right down that same road. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and the next thing that you find is that he moved into Sodom. Now, the first reference for and the first time the word house is used in the book, in the Bible, but in the book of Genesis, it tells about and it talks about the house that Lot had in Sodom. Now, Abraham lived in a tent. He lived in a tent. The Bible tells you, and describes it, the picture there that Abraham said, listen, he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He wasn't building houses down here. Listen, he's moving on. He's headed to another place. He's headed to another city, right? We're not talking about an earthly city, but a heavenly city. Abraham said, listen, this world is not my home. I'm out of here. I'm going to a better place. Lot said, you know what? I like it here. I'm going to drive my stakes down. I'm going to build me a house, and I'm going to have some things here. And then, really, listen to this statement right here. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then soon moved into Sodom. Then, sitting at the gate, that's the next time you see him. Sodom had moved into Lot. You see, he'd become a part of the city. He'd become a part of the program. He'd become part of everything that was going on there. You know, listen, I'll guarantee if you'd ask him, Lot, where are you headed? Well, he said, I'm not going down there. I'm not going down that place. I just want a better place to raise cattle. I just want to make a little bit more money than what I got right now. And you know what? Not a thing wrong with any of those things as long as God is giving you direction. If God's moving you that way, then you know what? It's fine. Move that way. But I'm just going to tell you, if God's not moving you that way, you better not head that way. And so here we find the happy man is not going to entangle himself with unwise counsel. You know, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we have to be careful who we make friends with. When we talk to young people, when my children were growing up, we talked to young people all the time. Talking to my children, we would not let them just be friends with anybody. Well, I mean, now wait a minute. Let me say that again. Let me say it this way. We wanted them to be friendly with everybody. Friendly. You be friendly to everybody. Don't avoid anybody. You know, you can speak and be nice to anybody, but I'm gonna tell you what. There's some people you're just not going to hang around. You're not going to be good friends with these people. You're not going to do it. Why? Because friends will influence you, and it's usually they'll influence you to do wrong. Folks, you can mark it down. You just mark it down. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful who we listen to, who we're getting our advice from. All right? Let me give you this right here. Someone wrote this down. First, we make little decisions that are minus God. In other words, we don't include God in that. Second, by the way, can I just tell you little decisions that we make apart from God, one day is going to be a big decision. But it'll be too late. We'll look back on it and see that. Second, we make commitments that cement these decisions. And third, we settle into a lifestyle of a life without God. All right, so the first thing that we see about the happy man, he avoids evil. The second thing about this man is he lives by God's word. Look at what he says here in verse number 2. The Bible says he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, first thing that we find here, he delights in it. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, seem like we said something about this happened too long ago, but you know, the Word of God is the number one thing for a Christian. Let me just tell you, if you are not getting something out of the Word every day, you're probably going to have trouble. You're going to have struggles down the road. Everybody ought to have some kind of Bible reading schedule plan where you read something from the Bible every single day. We got to have it. We've got to have it. It's important. It's essential to our life that we read this. Why? Well, Psalms 119 tells us that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so, folks, let me just tell you, we got to have God's word in our hearts. We've got to have God's word in our life. And if we don't, listen, if we're not getting counsel from the Bible, who are you getting your counsel from? God's word ought to be our lamp that lights our path to give direction to our feet. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, listen, it's important. We ought to be reading something in the Bible every day. I said in that devotion, I said, people's answers. You know, people talk, people think. I know what people are thinking. I used to be the same way. I used to think to myself, well, you know what? I'm too busy. I'm going. I've got so much to do. I can't read. I don't have time to read in my Bible. Well, folks, now if we were to be honest about that, I mean, can we be honest tonight? We're in church and everything, right? Can we be honest? No, yes or no? Can we or not? We're going to have to be, all right? We're just going to have to be. Let's be honest. You mean to tell me that you don't have 5 minutes, 5 minutes to give to God a day? You don't have 5 minutes for God out of your busy day? Come on. Everybody's got 5 minutes. By the way, if we were just completely honest, we got more than 5 minutes. We got plenty of time that we could spend with God if we wanted to, folks. I'm just going to tell you, if you can't do anything else, get one verse of Scripture and read it in the morning before you leave. Just one. My goodness, it wouldn't take 5 minutes to do that. One verse of Scripture every morning. I'll guarantee you, you'll look back and you'll see how God changed your life. One verse of Scripture every day. See if it don't change your life. Every morning before you go out. By the way, if you don't commit to it, if you don't make yourself do it, it'll never get done. There's some things you just have to do. But can I tell you that the happy man, the blessed man, delights in the Word of God. Boy, it delights. And I mean it, listen, there's nothing like reading your Bible and having God speak to your heart. Now, I'm just going to tell you, We all know this. There's some parts of the Bible that are hard to read. There's some parts of the Bible you can read them, and I'll guarantee you, you will not shout and run up and down the aisle. I'll guarantee you there are. There's some verses like that. There's some places like that. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot in here that does. That'll make you want to shout. It'll make you want to drop to your knees. It'll cause something to happen inside you. I'll tell you, God's Word. The happy man, the blessed man, he delights in the Word of God. Not only that, but he meditates on it. Now, folks, let me just tell you, delight in yourself, reading something in the Bible every day. Listen, that's the first step, and it's a great step. But let me tell you, when you start meditating on the Word of God, when you start meditating on it, I'm going to tell you, that to me is when it just really gets good. You meditate. When you meditate. In other words, you've read something in here. It may be something that you've heard before. It may be something that, you know, that blesses your heart. It may be something that you may not even understand it. But you start meditating on it. You start thinking about it. You start praying about it. And you start asking God, God, what is it? There's something here that you've got for me. There's something here that you're trying to tell me from this passage. Lord, what is it? What is it that you want me to get from this passage of Scripture? Now listen, you start doing stuff like that, and you're going to be in danger. You're going to be in danger of running up and down and shouting. You'll be in danger of that. That was supposed to be funny, guys. All right? It was supposed to be something, you know, to get your attention. You know, there's something about... I'm just telling you, there's something about studying the Word of God and then letting God speak to your heart. And then, like I said, you're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. You're spending time with it. And I'm going to tell you, God does something great. God does something in your life. Now, as a preacher, I know everybody does things different, but this is what I do. As I'm preparing a message, one of the things that I always do when I prepare a message, I did it tonight, you know, today as I was studying, looking at it. I always, not only, you know, as I'm writing it down and, you know, typing it out and doing all these things, you know, not only do I preach through it then, but when I get done or as I'm going through here, I always preach this message to myself. You know, I go down the whole way. I go down the whole thing. And I'm telling me stuff I wouldn't even dare tell y'all. Y'all could not handle, you know, some of the stuff I have to tell myself, you know, to try to get me on the right track. But I'm preaching it to myself. I'm thinking about how I'm going to say it, what I'm going to say. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God, is this what needs to be said during this time? Is this what needs to be said? And I'm writing things down. And then I say, Lord, if there's something that I'm forgetting, Lord, make sure you bring it to my mind. Lord, I know there's a message here. I know this is what you want me to say. And Lord, I know these folks, there's people here that need this tonight. Lord, make sure I say what you want me to say. Lord, listen, folks, I'm telling you, God's Word should be one of the most precious things that we have. Amen. And we're to delight ourselves in it. I mean, it ought to be a regular part of our... It ought to be a pattern. We need it. All right, because we're going to see now how important it is to the blessed man, the happy man. We're going to see how important that is on down as we get through here. All right? All right? So he delights himself in the Word of God, and he meditates on it. And then he obtains a productive life. Now he compares this life to a tree. All right, the first thing that we see here, verse number 3, because he delights himself in the law, and because he meditates on it day and night, the Bible says in verse 3, he's going to be like a tree. Because he's doing these things, he's not walking in the council here, the ungodly. He's not listening to the world and what they have to say. He's getting his information from the Bible. And because of that, he's going to be like a tree that's planted. Now, when I was looking at that, I thought to myself, you know, isn't that wonderful? God plants this tree. God plants it. He said, he shall be like a tree planted. It's not a tree that's wild and grows up anywhere. No, on purpose, it's planted in a certain place. Now, if you're at your house or what, you know, if you're putting out trees, you're putting out plants, you know there's some planning, there's some preparation that goes into that. You don't just throw one up, start digging holes and say, well, you know, let's just put them anywhere, wherever there's a hole, just throw something in it. We don't do that. We look at it, we think about, man, this would look good here, this would be nice here. When this grows, it'll look good here, it'll be shade and all these things. There's all kinds of things to think about. And so it's planted. It's on purpose. There's a plan behind it. Listen, folks, you better believe when God plants us, there's a plan behind it. There's a purpose. There's something going on there. God has a great plan, and he's letting us in on it. He plants that tree. And by the way, can I just tell you, it is planted by not a river of water, but rivers of water. Not just one, but many, several, at least two or more rivers of water. Now, can I tell you that one of the most important things that you can do for any kind of plant is give it water. If it has water, it can endure a lot of things. If it's got water, it's probably going to do okay. If it has no water, it's going to die. How many of you have had house plants in the house that were beautiful and luscious, and you bought one of the nicest potted planters to put it in. You put the very best. You didn't get this cheap pot and soil. You got the best pot and soil, and it died. How many of you? Come on, I know there's more. There's many of you that do. You know why it died? Let me tell you why it died. I didn't go to your house. Your wife didn't tell me. I know why it died. You didn't water it. You didn't water it, and it died. Had you watered it, all that other stuff wouldn't have made that big a deal. But boy, if you put water on it, it'll live. I'll never forget when I was younger, much, much younger, I used to work for a landscaping company. And we would dig trees. We would dig them. We had a big old machine bulldozer attachment that would on the front of a bulldozer, and it would go down, and it would dig up a root ball probably as big as this pulpit right here. Sometimes, though, with machine was whatever, we couldn't use it, we'd have to dig them things by hand. And boy, we'd dig down, I mean, man, it would be a big, I'm telling you, about, you know, as big as this pulpit is, deep and everything. And we'd dig that thing, and we'd work around it, and we'd wrap it with burlap. We would wrap it with wire. We'd take great care, because you know what? We're talking about a big old tree. If you're planting a big tree like that, you better believe that that's an expensive ordeal right there. And they wanted to make sure that thing lived. And so we would dig that thing up, and we would wrap it up, put it on the truck, wrap it up again, and then we'd take it to where it's going to be planted. We'd dig a huge hole bigger than the hole it was going to go in, big hole. And we would plant that thing. We would pack the dirt down around it and do all those things. But the last thing that we did, we would pile up around that tree, we would pile up dirt about this high all the way around it. We'd put a water ring around that tree. And you know what the purpose of the water ring was? To water the tree, right? Right? Water the tree. So you'd fill that hole up with water, and you'd come back, you'd fill it up with water, and you'd come back and you'd fill it up with water, and you would keep filling that thing up with water because, folks, listen, if it doesn't have water, it's not going to live. Guess what is true for the Christian? If it don't have water, he's not going to make it. Folks, can I tell you the reason why? One of the main reasons why people leave the church, people go away from God, people get out of the will of God, people quit serving God, if they're saved, it's because they ain't getting any water. They're not getting any water. And the Bible says that God, when God gets you, when he saves you, he plants you by a water source. He plants you with water all around you. All you have to do, All you have to do is just sit there and soak it up. And by the way, if you do that, he says that not only are you going to flourish, but you're going to bring forth fruit. You're going to bring forth fruit. What kind of fruit is it going to be? How much is it going to be and all that? We don't know, but the Bible says he's going to bring forth his fruit in due season. In other words, when it's time, God's going to have the fruit to come. He's going to bless that tree with fruit. The fruit is going to be there. That's God's job. God does that. God's going to cause that tree to bring forth its fruit. Not only that, he goes farther and he says his leaf does not fade. His leaf doesn't fade. Now, you know, the fruit and the leaves are indicators of what kind of tree it is. If you can see the leaves, most of the time, if you know anything about trees, you can tell what kind of tree it is by the leaf. And if it's got fruit on it, you can really tell what kind of tree it is. And so the fruit and the leaves indicate or tell us what kind of tree that it is. Folks, listen, I'm just going to tell you, all of these things indicate a healthy tree that's growing for God. Now, folks, listen, I believe it's just as simple as that. If the tree is getting the water, it's going to grow. It's going to produce fruit. And the leaves are not going to fade. It's not going to die. You know, if you quit watering the tree or whatever, you know, one of the first things that goes is the leaves. They're going to curl up and all those things. All right? Now, let me give you the last thing. Here's what he says. And whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Now, we know that he's not talking about earthly riches. He's talking about spiritual riches. He's talking about spiritual blessings here. That here is a man, here's a tree that's got water, is going to produce fruit. The leaf's not going to fade. And whatsoever he does, he's going to prosper spiritually at that. Now, like I said, go back to the book of Joshua, and I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 8. Here is exactly what we've been talking about. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Folks, can I just tell you, the benefits of serving God are unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're not talking about monetary, but we're talking about the spiritual benefits. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, one of the greatest things in all the world is serve God, love God, serve God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I'm just going to tell you, God's going to honor that. God's going to bless that. And it's up to you. You know, one of these days we get to heaven, we're going to look around, we're going to see how all these things played out. All these things. I mean, can you imagine that we would have went through what we went through just this year? That meant how long has it been? Not even six months into this year. And all the things that have happened, all the things that's taken place. And you know, because of what's happened, because of what's taken place, you know there'll be some people that'll get away from God. There'll be some people that just, they'll probably never come back to church for whatever reason. They won't come back to church. And you know what? They just won't be what they used to be for God. Just won't do it. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Always remain faithful. We don't know how things are going to work out, how things are going to turn out. There's no way in the world anybody can predict what's going to happen next. We don't know. I tell you, this world, this year has proven this world is, it's insane. Insane. This world is. I mean, me and Pastor, we'll be sitting around sometimes and we'll think, can you imagine? Who in the world could have believed all the and we just shake our head. We think, how does this happen? What in the world? But you know what? Folks, it don't matter what happens. We're not We're not building homes down here. We're traveling on. Listen, we're living in a tent. And one of these days, it's going to be our time. It might be death, but it might be the Lord comes back. And we're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here. All this stuff, you know, just ain't gonna matter that much. Just ain't going to be that big a deal. Folks, let me tell you, be faithful. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I wished I could emphasize and could convey to you how important it is that you read your Bible every day. I tell you, there's no substitute for it. Just no substitute. If you have to get up early on purpose, do whatever you gotta do. Make sure you read something from your Bible every day. All right? All right. Well, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're gonna play a stanza.